I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue meeting the broadcasters we watch and listen to here and beyond. Robin Stickley joins me now. This past summer, she returned to Global BC after a couple of years away in the United States as Global's Washington correspondent. A lot of us watched her for years when she'd anchor weekends on Global, and now she's helming the early news broadcast at 5. We'll discuss the show, the news, and more. The award-winning broadcaster has been with Global since 2000, first working at Global Edmonton, then known as ITV, and then coming out here in Vancouver in 2004. In her time as a foreign correspondent, she covered Hurricane Sandy, the Boston Marathon bombings, Newtown school shootings, and the 2012 presidential election. Visit globalnews.ca/BC for more and catch her at 5 p.m. weeknights. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Robin Stickley. Ms. Stickley, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Nice to be with you, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. So how are things at the early news broadcast? I mean, it seems like, it looks great. I mean, does it feel like home for you?
Yeah, this newsroom certainly feels like home for me. It has for, the time that I've been here, and certainly where my heart was for 8 years before going to D.C. I love, the people that I work with, and I've always been incredibly proud of the product, which isn't to say there's not challenging times in media and specifically for TV news right now, but this is, for me, definitely my heart's home and the newsroom that I love working in. The show is good. It's got its challenges because it's half an hour long, and we are trying to cram as much into that time as we can and make it as live as possible, which is a passion of mine and a love of mine. I enjoy live television. So that's one of the kind of focuses of the show, is to keep it live and current and what is happening right now. And also, it's important that people see Global News. Maybe our viewers don't see it this way. We do. We see our news block from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock as, a full 2 hours of news that needs to separate itself. So the 5 o'clock show goes into the national goes into News Hour, and each one of those components needs to have its own identity, if you will. And I think carving out an identity and a voice for the 5 is part of the challenge of me coming back to BC and taking the role. And it's evolving, and it's happening, and we're working on it, but that was part of the challenge and one of the things that I really was excited to get my hands on this show, because I think it has tremendous potential, and it's a lot of fun, I have to tell you. It's a great little show to be at the helm of. I'm really enjoying it. It's busier than I thought it would be in many ways, and more challenging in more ways, but I've been at it now since about the beginning of August, and I'm really loving it, yeah.
And the other channel, I mean, we always think of 6 o'clock as the most competitive time, but I mean, the other channels at 5 have shows on, right?
Yes, that's true, yeah. We certainly have competition at 5 in terms of news and other programming. So, we want to be out front at that time.
Yeah, how are the ratings? Am I correct to assume that you're number one?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Joe, it's a difficult thing to, you got to look at time periods over time periods and years over years and months over months. And I did a little bit of that when I came back, just to have an idea of where it was sitting before I took it over and try and maybe do a comparison, say, a year from now or 6 months from now. But I don't think I can really speak to you from a point of, like, incredible knowledge on where it's been in the past 5 years and where it is now. But We do really well at 5 o'clock, and we see those numbers spike when BC has a specific breaking news story or something that's going on that they turn to us, and that's a good feeling. So yeah, I think the numbers are healthy right now, really healthy.
And so you've touched on some of the goals that you have. I mean, I guess building trust in the audience. I mean, that's something that audiences want, right?
Building trust in an audience is key, absolutely. I don't think, at the end of the day, I don't think people tune in night after night if they don't have a pretty basic foundation of trust in the broadcast and in the people that are presenting that broadcast. That's not just me. That's everybody that's involved. But, yeah, I think as kind of the face of the show, you have to develop that level of trust. It's something that Deb Hope, did a brilliant job of over her years here, and it's something that I'm working hard to continue on in terms of the tradition. But I think one of the things I had going for me was that I'm known to our viewers. I spent 8 years in the newsroom before leaving for D.C., and then people here still continue to watch as I went into the U.S. and worked on stories for Global National. So hopefully the idea is that you, as a journalist, go out into the trenches and show people that, hey, I'm out there doing the stories, bringing them to Canadians in a way that shows, that I understand what matters to Canadians. And that in itself, there were a lot of reasons to go to the U.S., but one of them was that I knew that opportunity itself would open doors elsewhere, and to be able to come home and that hopefully, as you said, have the trust of viewers who have kind of followed my career or watched and feel comfortable knowing that, hey, she's been there, done that, you know, not, which does not in any way, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of veteran of the business or anything like that, but I do think that, you know, when you've had some of those experiences, they do build credibility in this industry. That's what it's all about.
And in Canada, if you're a hockey player, you're famous, and if you're on TV, you're famous. What's it like to be recognized on the street? I'm sure that happens to you quite a bit.
TV's a bit of a weird animal, you know. People do, there's a joke in my family that, you know, my brother could be out there kind of curing cancer, and people would still ask my parents about me because of the television element. Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. There is a fascination around it. You're right. There is kind of a recognized, you know, people recognize, and they, I also think with news, it's a little bit different from other TV platforms in that you kind of feel like this person comes into your living room every evening at the same time, and they become, you know, family might be a stretch, but there's that connected feeling, right? So people want to come up to you and talk to you about, you know, I often get people saying, oh, really, you should meet my son, or, you know, they've got, like, this personal connection to you right away, or, you know, that the jacket you wore last Friday was fantastic, or, you know, alternatively, you know, well, I'm not sure about the new haircut. Like, people really feel like they can say what they want to say to you. That can be a wonderful thing. It is most of the time. It can also be a bit of an awkward thing. But, yeah, sure, there's that factor comes with the job. I think in BC, I personally have not had experiences where that's been a negative thing. It's always very positive. People are very cool, whether they're running into you at a Canucks game or at the grocery store. People are lovely, and I think it speaks to the relationship that Global BC has built with our viewers, that they feel that connectivity to us, and they respond in kind. That's how, you know, that's how they talk to you, like, hey, I know you, and that's a good thing. That's what, you know, when you want to talk about ratings and numbers, that's what builds viewership.
So it's good to be home, but you've already alluded to how fun it was covering the United States for the couple of years that you did that. I mentioned off the top some of the big stories that you covered. That experience, I mean, you can't get that anywhere else because that's Washington, isn't it?
Yeah. D.C. is kind of Mecca, right, for journalists, and I knew when that opportunity came up with Global National that I had to throw my hat in the ring. I honestly didn't necessarily think I would get the job, but I wanted to present myself for it because I wanted to be, you know, I wanted them to know I was serious about going to the next level and doing something on a national scale. And when the job came through, I was just golden opportunity, a ticket to go and experience and do things that, I'm sure will not happen again in my career. That first year that I was down there was the news cycle that I stepped into was unbelievable, you know, from the election to the hurricane hitting New York City and being in Battery Park as that happened, and then all the chain of incredibly sad events, you know, Newtown for the shootings and Boston for the bombings and Moore, Oklahoma, where dozens of people died when that F5 hit the ground. I mean, we were there on the ground for all of those things, and you're right, you don't get that experience anywhere else. I wanted to go for that challenge. That was the reason I put my hand up, was I knew, you know, this is the time in my career to go do it and to go see if I can do it. Honestly, just, hey, do I have what it takes to hit the ground running in a breaking news situation and figure it out and get on the air for 5:30? Can I do that? Do I have what it takes? That was really what I set out. That was my mindset. And it was a great two-year run. I could have, you know, I very happily would have stayed on in D.C. and continued there because it's a fantastic city. I love the job. I was really enjoying the heck out of it. And, you know, honestly, I think I would have happily stayed on until the end of Obama's term. That said, when the opportunity to do the 5 o'clock show came up, I knew that was, you know, a once-in-a-career opportunity to come back and be at the helm of that show. And I knew that if I turned it down, it wasn't coming up again. And so I weighed it all out, and I'm happy with the decision that I made. I knew that the 5 o'clock show wouldn't come around again for me. So it was good. It was, you know, life has an interesting way of throwing timing at you. This didn't happen exactly in the timing that I thought it would, but it definitely feels like the right thing.
Did you get a sense of being in the United States as to how Canada is viewed by, say, Americans?
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. There's some pretty stereotypical points of view, you know, always. I think there are things about us that they that they like to, in a friendly, neighborly way, poke a little bit of fun at. I definitely got a lot of that. I was working in a newsroom near Capitol Hill that had a lot of other reporters from a lot of other networks in it, namely, you know, NBC News folks were in there, the Telemundo folks were in there, the ITN folks from England were in there. So they all kind of had their interesting ideas about Canadians. And yet, at the same time, you know, we really spend a lot of our lives as Canadians looking south and kind of peering through this window at the older, you know, I think we often think kind of the older, cooler brother and just hoping that they'll notice us. And we take a lot of our social cues and our popular culture cues from what goes on in the States. So we spend a lot of time kind of looking at them. I think they spend very little, if any, time looking at us. That's just the nature of the relationship. That's just the way it is. And, you know, I think if we were brutally honest, I think Canadians have some level of kind of insecurity about it, which you see come out, you know, when we beat them at the Olympics in hockey because, hey, you know, we kind of take on Goliath there and we get noticed. But I would say, you know, the truth is, they are not paying as much attention on any scale, on any level, to us as we're paying to them. That's the way the relationship goes. They're a superpower, and, you know, and all those kind of cliche things that you want to say about it. But it was interesting being down there and seeing how, you know, the U.S. networks handled big news. That was definitely eye-opening. And just being around it, you know, I was talking to Kevin Newman when I moved down there. He said to me very, very simply, being in the U.S. just makes you better. It just makes you better. Working in the U.S. just makes you better. And I tend to agree. There's something about it that you kind of have to raise the bar a little bit on what you're doing. And it felt like it really did that for me.
Now, did you grow up in Edmonton?
No, I only lived in Edmonton during the period of time that I was working at ITV.
Oh, I see.
2000 to 2004. I'm an Air Force kid. Mm-hmm. My dad flew jets. So we lived mostly overseas. We were all over the world, but we spent a lot of time in Europe when I was a kid growing up, and then came back to Alberta where I went to university. But, you know, people say, where are you from? And that's not always an easy answer because, you know, we grew up really, truly, like I said, you know, kind of name the place, we've lived there. But my family is here in Vancouver now. My mom and dad are retired here. My older brother is in BC, so this feels like home, even though, you know, this is not a place that I'd have had lived prior to coming to Global BC in 2004, but it's home to me now.
Yeah. There are a lot of folks from Alberta that work out here now, like Galus.
Yeah.
Is from Alberta, isn't he?
Oh, there's a lot. For us, there was a pipeline from Global Edmonton to Global BC for many, many years. You know, you could just go down the list from Romina Dea to Jada Rand to, you know, Kerry Adams over at CTV, Tara Nelson came out. I mean, it just kind of went on and on and on. I think Rob Brown and Rosa Mercatelli came out back in the day. So, yeah, there was definitely kind of, like I say, a bit of a pipeline at one point between, specifically between Edmonton and Vancouver, it seemed.
Yeah, no, covering BC as you do, I mean, it is a unique market, isn't it? I mean, it's a highly competitive market. All the stations pour a lot of resources into news. I mean, it is unique to other cities in Canada and even in the United States, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right. I think there's a good run of competition here, for sure. I do see some trends right now that, you know, make us feel like we're trying to do more with a little bit less. I think that's probably how everybody is feeling. But I have to say, when I joined in 2004, you know, there was very much that ideal of, you know, the BC TV way of doing things, which was different from any other station that I had ever been in. Specifically, the style of editing and the reporters working with editors on stories and the editors themselves being journalists. There were some very unique things about then BCTV, now Global BC, that were very new to me as a reporter and really shaped me. You know, coming into a place where you've got people like Brian Coxford and John Daly and Ted Chernecki and at the time Harvey Oberfeld, you know, to watch and emulate and work with, I don't think it gets any better than that. So, yeah, this market, I think, is unique. And, you know, it's unique for Global, too, because, you know, under the helm of Tony Parsons and back for decades, really, our shows have done very, very well across BC with a very loyal viewership.
What was it about the news for you that drew you to this line of work?
I can remember being a really little kid and loving to do kind of fake radio casts. I would force my brother to do the commercials, so we would put a tape in and hit record, and I would do the news, and he'd have to do the weather segments and the commercial segments. He got all the kind of, like, the not-so-serious stuff while I did the newscast. I would watch Barbara Frum on CBC and just think, that is it. That is the coolest job. I don't even know for sure that I was old enough to really truly get, you know, all of what was she, you know, what was news and what was she doing. I just knew that she was presenting something unique and different every day. And I thought, gosh, that's the job. That is the gig that I want to do. And it combines all the things I love. I got lucky. I really got lucky. It combines not only kind of presentation and language, but writing and communication. And, you really are jumping into something brand new every day and trying to become an expert on that subject. So I don't know. People say, what would you do if you weren't, in TV news? And I don't think there's a tougher question than that, because this really hits. I fire on all cylinders. I love it. I love the liveness of it. And like I said, it brings together kind of all of the areas of my life that, through school anyway, I felt like, these are the areas that I'm doing well at, and then just kind of brings all that together. The writing is the part that most people don't, give a lot of thought to. When I talk to students, I always say, write, just keep writing, always write, because that's the part of TV news that I think gets lost a little bit, and that people, you know, don't understand that is, you know, really the foundation of it all. So the writing for me is still a big love.
Yeah, and the other thing that, I mean, when I watch you or watch the other folks on Channel 11, is that you guys, you're good at your jobs, you know what you're doing in terms of delivering the news, but you also seem like you all get along and you're having
except
fun.
Except for that Galus guy, man, I'll tell you. He's a thorn in my side. No, you're right. Yeah, and people, you know what, here's the thing, though. Your viewers, you can fool them for a little while, but yeah. I don't think you fool them forever, right? If you don't genuinely have a connection with your coworkers, people see that eventually. I don't know, maybe you can get away with it for a bit, but I do hope that people know that, hey, we have our days here. We're a family. It's not like we don't have our moments where people are, stepping on each other's nerves, my goodness. But I think overall that's the thing that I'm most grateful for in coming back to this newsroom is that it still has a sense of family, and I think you're right. I think we're totally, just spoiled with riches in terms of people here who have a lot to offer and a lot of talent and are committed to that product at the end of the day. But we like each other. I mean, I hope that comes off on the air because, that's key. And it's, I don't know if all newsrooms are like that. I haven't worked in many others, but, I think this one's pretty exceptional for the way that we relate to each other, you know?
Who spends the most time in makeup? Is it Galus?
Oh, it's got to be Jan Hour, you know? It's got to be. Galus is through pretty quickly. He often even sometimes, he'll come through and do his own if he's in a hurry. So he's not in the makeup room very often. All the girls get in there and we start gabbing, and it's kind of like, throw a glass of wine in there and it would be kind of, a Friday night. But no, I can't beg on Galus. He's not in the makeup room very often, or not for very long anyway.
Now, you were on the Jeff O'Neill show recently, and that made a lot of talk on Twitter.
I survived it, barely.
Did you get flack from management over it?
No, first of all, number one, take what you know about the Jeff O'Neill show and ask yourself if you think that our management is listening to that. So that's the good news, right, is that they're probably not dialed into that. People are like, were your parents listening? I'm like...
Yeah.
Were my parents listening to Jeff O'Neill? So no, I don't, here's the thing. I mean, you have to watch, it's a bit of a minefield. You have to be on your A game going into the studio and hanging out with those guys. I like the challenge of it a little bit. I like kind of the sparring and it's honestly a lot of fun. Yes, you kind of have to walk the line with them and be a little bit careful, but at the end of the day, know your audience, right? Like you're going into a scenario where you know that they want to have a bit of fun and I think you have to be willing to go there a little bit in a way that, I wouldn't do on my show, certainly. But, they're a good group of guys, and they push the envelope. There's no question in every sense. But I think you have to try and find a way, like I said, to just walk the line with them and have a little bit of fun and give them a bit of what they want while still holding on to a shred of integrity. And this promotion, at the end of the day, it's promoting ultimately, they amongst kind of the silliness, we did get a chance to talk about some of the stuff, the experiences in the U.S. and coming back to BC. So they give me an opportunity to kind of chat up the show and promote it. And at the end of the day, those are good things. I'm not going to say no to that. And they're fun. They're a good time.
Robin, it's been fun chatting today. We've been watching you for years. It's good to have you back, and I appreciate this. Thanks.
Joe, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
The website for more, globalnews.ca/BC. The early news is on at 5 on Global BC, Channel 11, here in Vancouver. Robin Stickley, its anchor, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.